left off yesterday talking about the permissibility of a woman eating in a sukkah. The Gemara says clearly the Hillel and Malka was sitting in a sukkah. The Gemara speaks about it in a very praiseworthy way. She was sitting in it to help out her children, etc. We don't seem to have any qualms about a woman sitting in a sukkah. So the question is, how does that fit into other statements, particularly statements of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's reporting to us about what Hillel and Malka is doing, and yet we have recorded that Rabbi Yehuda had certain hesitations and reservations about women volunteering certain mitzvahs. So there was a major machlokes Rashi and Tosfos we spoke a lot about yesterday. Rashi's opinion was that when a woman volunteers mitzvahs, which is pure from that smacks about Tosfos, the Raisa to Rabbanan, you have to work really, really hard to explain why that those problems didn't apply here. So Tosfos tries to explain to you why somehow about Tosfos could be circumvented here. According to Tosfos, there's no problem to begin with, because according to Tosfos, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with a woman volunteering mitzvahs. The problem is certain mitzvahs carry with them smacks of Averis. Whether it's a tefillin, bringing chulas major, sure, but putting aside those technical considerations, the fact that a woman is volunteering to do a mitzvah, that in and of itself is not problematic. In the Rashi and the Tosfos, so we seem to be okay with the fact that Hillel and Malka was sitting in the sukkah. We seem to have avoided any potential pitfalls. So comes the any gyantif, Shaz Chupas any gyantif, and raises a whole new dimension to this figure, and raises the objection, says the any gyantif, wait a second. We have a real problem here in this woman, or any woman in that matter, sitting in the sukkah. Forget about Rashi, forget about Tosfos, but the real problem is based on a sukkah that appears in Aftes. Hopefully we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the year. The Gemara tells us that there's an iser to be nana me'atzei sukkah. You're not permitted to derive benefit from the sukkah. What does that mean? I'm sitting in the sukkah, so that's okay. You know, I'm being nana me'atzei sukkah besoch mitzvasa, derech mitzvasa, that's perfectly acceptable. But to be nanim in a sukkah shaloi b'teres mitzvah, let's say for example, if a person would take down some tzchach in the middle of sukkahs and use it for firewood, or a person would, let's say, according to Machlekes Rambam and the Rush, but if the sister applies to the defunas of the sukkah as well, according to the Rambam, even if you take down the walls of the sukkah and use them for something, that's a nisidaraisa. According to the Rush, we have a nisidarabon, and hopefully we'll talk about that later on in the test. But everybody agrees that atzei sukkah are also banu min haTorah, to some degree min haTorah. Gemara learns that from Sukkim, Chayda Sukkah Shem Shem Lashem, Kishem Shechal Shem Shemaim Lachagiga, Chach Shem Shemaim Latzei Sukkah. So there's no question we're dealing with the potential deraisa here. The Gemara Darshan from Sukkim. It's clear that there's some kind of an issue deraisa to be nerdim in a Sukkah Shlom Adach Mitzvasa. So raises the objection, raises the red flag, says the Anigantif. Vishlam, when a man sits in the Sukkah, that's called nerdim in a Sukkah Derech Mitzvasa. But when a woman sits in the Sukkah, she's not Chayeva, sits in Sman Gurama. So when the woman sits in the Sukkah, the schach is keeping her protected, the walls are keeping her warm, she's nice and cozy and comfortable. Wait a second, that should be a problem? That should be an issa deraisa. So how can we let a woman sit in the sukkah, tape a clay, that's called a hanah, shalom b'derech mitzvah. Now, in our heart of hearts, we all know, intuitively, we all sense, that there's got to be an answer to this question. Because last we checked, our wives, our sisters, our daughters, our mothers, our grandmothers, we know, the deris, women have been sitting in the sukkah. We know Hillel and Malka was sitting in the sukkah. But we have to understand conceptually, what's the answer to the Ani Yantav's question? What's the response to the Ani Yantav's objection? So the Ani Yantav himself begins to analyze his question and begins the starting point, the springboard, is the story of Hillel and Malka. So comes the Ani Yantav and says, let's go all the possible scenarios to try to see, should this pose a problem, should this not pose a problem? So comes the Ani Yantav and says, well, let's say this sukkah has never been sat in by somebody who was chayv in the mitzvah in the first place. What would you say about that? For example, give me an example of a sukkah that was never sat in by someone who was chayv in the sukkah. Give me a good case, a good historical account of someone, of a sukkah that existed, that people were sitting in, but there was no one person there who was chayv min haTorah, I'll change it, was chayv min haTorah to sit in that sukkah. Which sukkah is that, lo and behold? Hillel and Malka. Who was in the sukkah? Mrs., Queen, that's the title. When you write a title for a seating car, what do you call it? Queen Helene. So Queen Helene was sitting there. She's not chayev in sukkah. Her kids, come on, they're only chinuch. It wasn't a real chiyuv. It wasn't a chiyuv deraisa. There's nobody else there, right? So if there's nobody else there, then it's not a problem. Why is that not a problem? It's still a sukkah. So the answer is the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if you build the sukkah and nobody has sat in the sukkah yet, and then all of a sudden, third day chalamud, you decide you want to take some of the schach off. That's okay. You know why? Aye, but you're being nanami atzei sukkah. What's the answer? It's not yet Nana Miyatza Sukkah. And why not? I was designated for the purposes of Sukkah. I would decide for Sukkah. What's the answer? Three words. Daf Yomi Men. Hazman Alav Milsa. The Gemara says, as a Dimina Torah, that when we're dealing with things which you're going to get an Isser on them because they're used for such and such purpose, so there's a major Machlekes Abayin Rava tucked away in the sixth parakh of the Sechah Sanhedrin. Do we say Hazman Milsa? Do we say Hazman Alav Milsa? Is the mere dedication of the item endow it with the properties, the characteristics of Isser? Or do we say, no, it's only the usage of the item that actually begins the Isser? So what was the original Machlekes Abayin Rav? Who remembers? What was the original Machlekes? Erek Berged Lemeis. If a person sews and weaves Tachrichim, and preparing Tachrichim for a dead body, what's the status of those Tachrichim? So what it is that a mace is also banro, and anything that's used in the context of a mace is also banro. Let's say, if a mace is in an aron, and then you want to take the mace out of the aron and use the aron for firewood, that's also. Or let's say you dress up the mace in tachrichim, and then you want to decide to take the tachrichim off and use it for something else, that's also. Once something is designated, once something is actually used for a dead body, it becomes nitfas of the iser hanor of the body itself. A mace is also banro min ha-Torah. So everything that's connected and part of and serving the mace is also also banro. So the Amamarayim have a machlaikis, the Bayan Rava. At what point does the Issa begin? Does the Issa begin at the time when it's actually worn by the mace? Or does the Issa begin at the time that it was dedicated, when it was sewn on behalf of the mace? Wait, hold on, we're getting there. Hang in there, okay? So, the Gemara has a whole sugya in the sixth Pekah Masechah Sanhedrin. And the Gemara relates this to other areas of Halacha as well. This is not a mace topic. The Gemara relates it to some more down-to-earth shilas. What's some more common shilas? A tefillin bag. There's a din that once something is designated, it's used as a tefillin bag, so you're not allowed to use it for dvarim shel chol. You're not allowed to keep your money in your tefillin bag. Keep it in a plastic bag, you can't hide the tefillin bag itself. So the Gemara's machlok is, what's the din if a person made a tefillin bag, but they haven't yet used it to put tefillin in? So the Gemara says, once again, the same shilas. According to Abai Hazmana Milsahi, just the designation as a davish of a kedusha endows it with Kedusha, and therefore you can't use it for Dvarim Shel Chol, because according to Rabbah, it's about a lot of milsi, and therefore would be permissible until you actually use it for tefillin. And the Gemara goes, Kaheina, Vachaheina, Vachaheina, to try to show you how this Shaila permeates Kol Terakula. Where did this Machlekes come from? What's it based on? Machlekes by Rabbah? Where does it emanate from? So the Gemara has some interesting, strange Makaris, where the source of this Machlekes comes from. The Gemara says that there are certain cases in the Torah where Hazmana is Lav Milsa. And there are certain cases in the Torah where Hazmana is Milsa. And we just have to figure out what's the rule, what's the exception to the rule. So the Gemara starts tossing around and playing around with Egla Rufa and Avodah Zorah, remember the Sukkahs, right? Try to figure out which should we extrapolate from, which is the exception that we shouldn't extrapolate from, Kaina B'Kaina. But when all the dust settles, we pass in Halacha, this global issue like Rava, that Hazmana Lav Milsa. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch and the Chasukah quotes from the Rishonim, just as the Gabi the Isser of the Tefillin Bag and the Gabi the Isser of the Tachrichim and other things, Hazman Alav Milsa, so to Atziah Sukkah, Hazman Alav Milsa as well. So the fact that you built a beautiful Sukkah, caused by nobody sat in it yet, the Isser wasn't chal. It says the Ani Yantif, this particular Sukkah, we actually luck out in. Why? Because the Sukkah never really got Kedusha Sukkah to it. And maybe the kids sat in an Akabon and they don't need Gilachinuch, it's not a real Isser. So there's no real problem in HaTorah with this Sukkah, Dafka, because there was no man there. Now, is that really true? Is it really, really true that there were no? Is it really true there was no man there? Well, it does say Ha'izakein Nichnasa V'Yotzim L'Sham. Does that mean they were sitting down and eating with her? They were sitting down just visiting with her? Did they really do a mitzvah v'shiva besukkah? It's not exactly clear from the story. So maybe they were just coming to wish her a good yontif. Don't get the impression of sitting down and having a shmumas board with her. So if they were just coming in and saying hello, maybe that's not called the yeshiva besukkah. So maybe the sukkah wasn't as kaddish yet, so we could still salvage yoni yontif. Of course, there was another potential man who may have been here. What was his name? What? Mr. Hamalka, I don't know whatever his first name was, okay? So king, I guess, if she was a queen, he must have been either a king or a prince or somebody. So the question was, well, maybe he existed. So the Yantar Shtikl Torah, that this sukkah was okay, because there was no man who was Mekadishah, this is assuming that there was no man present, which we already saw in the list, so it gives actually 2 days until Zishanim. So who would have ever thought the existence of Mr. Hilni Amalka impacts not only in the sugya of chinuch, a major player in terms of the chinuch sugya, and now it becomes a major factor in terms of the sugya of answering the other Yantav Stein, how in the world the Sukkah didn't become Asur in terms of Atzei HaSukkah. But Rabbi Isai, if we go down this route of the other Yantav, we're going to hit into a stone wall. We're going to hit into a big problem. You know why? Because if we're going to say that the Kasha is really correct, the premise of the other Yantav's question is Taka stands, and the only reason why it was okay in this Sigif, hard to sit in the Sukkah, was because no man had ever stepped foot into the Sukkah really before. That's going to bode trouble. That's going to spell trouble for us. Why? Because, come on, Rabbi Isai, unless you come from certain communities, which I'm looking around, I don't see anybody from those communities here, who's going to tell me they never ever saw a woman in a Sukkah? Who's going to tell me they've seen women in Sukkahs? Okay? I've seen many, many women in Sukkahs. The Sukkahs have Kedusha Sukkah today, and what happened? You got this Kasha, the men are set there, the women are sitting there. So there's got to be more to it than me. So let's see if we can come up with another possibility, another approach to try to salvage that not just Mrs. Hilni HaMalka could sit there, but quite frankly, we may have to come up with another answer even for Hilni HaMalka. I'm not even sure her husband wasn't there in the first place.
If her husband was there, wouldn't the Rabbanu for sure say something? Because now there's a man, so there has to be only her that was having kids.
No, it doesn't mean that he was there. I mean, Mistami, he was... even according to that day, it tells Yishanim that the husband was there. He wasn't in the Sukkah. He was sitting in the Kasha Sukkah, put his wife and the kids in the puzzle Sukkah. So he's telling that even according to the Dan Taz Yishanim, it does mean he was Mamish sitting there, Mamish. Means obviously he must have been in a Kasha Sukkah. Interesting. Nothing about it. Okay, maybe. But between you and me, I don't know what's going on in the Pfeiffer side of Teaneck, but in the Sablowski side of Bergerfield, the women are still sitting in the Sukkah. So we have to come up with some kind of answer. I don't know, maybe the cross Briarcliff, maybe things will change. Okay. So, Rabbi Isai, let's see if we can come up with some other approach, some other idea. There is a Gemara in Maseches Erechid, put on the Mamre Kaimis. I think you put on the Mamre Kaimis. Yeah. The Gemara in Erechid, the 8th of Mamre Kaimis, of Gilma Beis. Hakol Chayav in the Sukkah. So the Gemara quotes a Brayis that says, everybody's Chayav in Sukkah. Why does this appear in Erechid and Daf Gimel? The Mishnah Erechid is called Marichin and called Nerochin. The Gemara, rattles off 15 brises that have that same nusach of a call this, a call that. So Kol Chayav in Sukkah, everyone's Chayav in Sukkah. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim all Chayav in Sukkah. The Gemara says, Pshita. Ihari lo mechayvi man mechayvi. If they're not Chayav, who exactly is Chayav? Obviously, all Jews are Chayav in Sukkah. What's it? Kohanim is Trichalai. I need a Chiddush, I need the Tanoim, I need the brisa to address the point that a Kohen is Chayav in Sukkah. Why? Sagad al Chamin, I would have thought, Holuk Siba Sukkah's Teshvu. It says in the Chumash Sukkah's Teshvu. V'yamamar Teshvu Shivas Yomim Ke'ein Taduru. Madira Ish V'ishto Av Sukkah Ish V'ishto. I would have made a whole complicated, convoluted drasha. The Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru means that you have to be in the Sukkah and live in the Sukkah the same way you live with your wife. So I would have thought, V'hani Ke'hanim, Hol Ubnei Avoydin Nidol Amachayvu. Kohanim cannot live with their wives properly in the Sukkah. Why? Because the Kohanim, B'shas Avodah, and in Yerushalayim, about to bring Karbanos, they can't be with their wives because they're not allowed to become Tamei. They become Tamei, they won't be able to do the Avodah tomorrow. So obviously Kohanim, at a certain times, are not going to be living in a normal fashion as the normal Derech Dira. So therefore, I would have made whole Chagad, your whole Shikul Torah to say, a Kohen who can't be with his wife, Mamela doesn't have to live in the Sukkah altogether. Kamash Balam. So Kum the Gemara says, Kamash Balam the Braisa, that even a Kayin has to be in the Sukkah. So what's the problem? So what's the Kamash Balam? Once we build up this razzle dazzle Havamina, it's not bad. Not such a bad Svara. Teishvu Gein Taduru, you can't be with your wife. You can't be with your wife, so you can't sit in the Sukkah. You can't sit in the Sukkah. You're not Chayev. So what's the Kamash Balam? So the Gemara answers, Kamash Balam, Vihi the Petiri Bishas Avoda, Below Shas Avoda Chiyuve Mechayve. I says it's not 100% true because Kohanim can do a Dira in the Sukkah. It's true that Kohanim can do a Dira in the Sukkah sometimes, but they can do a Dira in the Sukkah other times. So if they're on call for tomorrow, they taka can't do a Dira in the Sukkah. If they're not on call for tomorrow, then they can do a Dira in the Sukkah, and therefore the Gavras are Mechuyv in Sukkah. So Kamash Bala and the Kohanim are basically, at the end of the day, Chayv in Sukkah. I can't do Gemara. I mean, if they decide that they want to do it, they don't have to do it, but they have a right to do it tomorrow, but if they're not interested, so they don't have to do it. So that's the kamash point of the Gemara. So when all the dust settles, who has a kohen? The kohanim? Yechayv and sukkah. Okay, so that's it. You know, don't make excuses, no shtekel teres. Yechayv and sukkah. But kohen is chayv and sukkah. The Gemara did have a havamina that maybe we could exempt the kohen from sukkah because of this svara of ma sukkah, ma dira ish ve ishtai, av sukkah ish ve ishtai. That was the half a minute of the Gemara. So come to Ramah and says that half a minute true does not play out vis-a-vis Kohanim, because at the end of the day a Kohen can be with his wife at least sometimes, at least in theory, but says the Ramah, the half a minute is still true, there's still a glimpse of truth, there's still a mashu of truth within the half a minute. The application to Kohanim is not correct and ultimately is rejected by the Gemara, but the basic underlying piece of truth that there is some kind of a connection between Sukkah and Dira and Ishvi Ishto, etc., that in fact remains in force. And therefore the Ramah says, what would the din be? So you would have an individual who really in fact cannot be with his wife. He's in a situation where he cannot live normally together as husband and wife, and now comes Sukkah, and because he can't live normally with husband and wife, he has a conflict now. Should I go to the sukkah where I can't be with my wife? Or should I stay in my house where I can be with my wife? You know what the Ramah says? You put them in a sukkah. Because my sukkah, my dira ish v'ishtai, av sukkah ish v'ishtai. Now again, the application to Kohanim is not correct because the Kohen can be with his wife. But for the person who taka can't be, so such a person is in fact put them in a sukkah. It's based on this reading of the Gemara Maseches Erechin that the Ramah brought back to life this almost mistaken Havamina, where the Ramah offers his famous Psach in the 9th in the Maamar Kaimis, where he's bemoaning and trying to defend a practice that existed in Eastern Europe that seems to be Shalai Kedim. If you take a look at the 9th in the Maamar Kaimis, a very, very famous Ramah, one of the most famous Rabbos in Ukhusuk and Tafish Lamates of days. Says the Ramah, in today's world, in Eastern Europe, I live in Krakow in Poland, a lot of people are very lenient and they don't sleep in the sukkah. Why is that? She'eini shaving b'sukkah rach b'dachtim mitzvahs. Only the people who are very, very careful about the mitzvahs in general, the ones who sleep in the sukkah, the hamonam, the average balabat, the average pashada people, are not sleeping in the sukkah in Krakow. So the Ramah is trying to defend that minhag. It's an isn't mamash a bitul mitzvah in the Torah. So the Ramah says, Yeshem Misham Tzina. So one is simple, almost balbatish reason, why aren't the people sleeping in the sukkah? Because it's freezing cold. This is Krakow. Paul, anyone have been in Krakow? Anyone been in Krakow in the wintertime? How cold is it in Krakow in the wintertime? Colder than Muncie? Cold. Muncie's pretty cold. Colder than Muncie. Okay. So my grandmother was not from Krakow, she was from another place in Poland, and she told me that it was very normal for it to snow on Sukkot time, and then the snow would last from Sukkot to Pesach. So it was very, very cold. So comes the Ramon and says, Mistama, that's why in Poland the oilam was mekil, because it's very, very difficult to sleep in a cold place. Yemen says it's hot to eat in a cold place also. But eating, you know, you bundle up a little bit, you know, the whole meal is only 20 minutes. How long is the whole meal? To sleep the whole night is freezing, frigid, below freezing temperatures in Krakow. The stomach, that's what the oilam was knowing. Mitztar potem in a sukkah. Now we know mitztar is potem in a sukkah. Teshu came to Duru. You would never live in a place that's so uncomfortable. So therefore, you're potem in a sukkah. So now the Ramah proceeds to say, I'm going to give you another reason. Almost a more lumdish reason why things the minute became that people were not sleeping in the sukkah. Believe me, right? Mishum the mitzvah sukkah isha beisai. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is a person with his wife. Ishvi ishta keder shu dark lashana. The same way that a couple lives all year long in the house, they sleep together in the same room. Uvimakum shalo yuchal ishanim ishta. If you have a situation where a person cannot sleep together with his wife, can his wife join him? Because it's not a private sukkah, it's a public sukkah. So in, you get the impression from the Ramah that in a generation where people had their own private sukkahs, people had a lot of room, people lived in a lot of spacious areas, so then you have to build a sukkah that's comfortable for you and your wife. But Nebuch, raise your hands again, those who are in Krakow, how big did Krakow seem to you? Not all that big. Remember the Ramah Shul, the whole thing was two blocks, the whole thing, a lot of Jews who lived there. Apparently, in the Ramos days in Eastern Europe, in Poland, a lot of people did not have private sukkahs; they had communal sukkahs. So everyone's going to come and sleep in the sukkah. In the breach of tzniyas building is there. So the Ramos writes that it's impossible. There's no way. There's no place to build a private sukkah. So Nebuchadnezzar can tell people to come and stay with their wives in the sukkah. That's an impossibility. So since it's impossible to do that, what's the din? You can't fulfill dira ish v'ishto and remain liyapata ben asukkah. So the Ramah writes that she'en lo sukkah miyuched is potur. Ramah writes v'toiv lahachme v'liyah shavim ishto kmo shidar kol hashana imev shel liyah so sukkah miyuched. If you're able to have a sukkah miyuched, a private sukkah, you should taka do it. You should taka build a nice private sukkah and your wife should join you to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah dira ish v'ishto properly. So this is a earth-shattering Ramah. This is a bombshell of a cool of Ramah. But the Ramah is telling you, on the level of their Raisa, that Dira, if it can't be a Mokum Dira Ish V'Ishta, that's a point there from the Mitzvah of Sukkah. Where the Ramah get it from? A guy from Agamar, Maseches Erech. And of course, the problem is Agamar never really said it. Agamar said it as a fleeing Havamina, which the Gemara ultimately rejected. But the Ramah said the Gemara only rejected it vis-a-vis the application to a Kohen, but vis-a-vis the person, not a Sukkah Miyuchedes, it taka stands. So the Bira Gura on the 10th of the Mamakimus. The Gura says it's not true. The Gura says, V'li Nira, quoting the Ramah, K'mosh Kos B'erchad Avgimel, V'gemar lo chayvinu el mishim shalom b'shas avayda. Avam Rashi shams up the Gura divin askel v'nei avayda mash b'dechayev. Shekasa di afaga v'chulei v'ratzalom and mashekasa v'gemar need the p'tir v'chulei inu v'atzalom shemish v'ishra in taisus di v'chamash blon v'chulei v'chen ikar. So after the six v'chuleis, did anyone know what the Gura was saying? I mean, I do what the Gura was saying. Basically, what the Gura is saying is as follows: that when the Gemara concludes that Kohanim are chayev in sukkah, you know what the Gemara means to conclude? The Gemara is grandiose chavamina of ma dira ish v'ishto af sukkah ish v'ishto. What's the kamash malon? So, according to the Ramos Pshat, what's the kamash malon? The kamash malon is that a kohen can be with his wife sometimes. According to the Gura, what's the kamash malon? The what? The Kamash Blan is that Yahav Amina was what? Was wrong. There is no din of Teshuva to do it to speak to husband and wife. Teshuva can do it teaches me if it's raining, if it's cold. There is no din of Madira Ishva Ishto Afsuk Ishto. That whole Yahav Amina was wrong. So what's the problem? So why does the Gemara say that the Kohen is only Chayav Shalom Bishas Avodah? So that's what the Gura references to Rashi. That's for a different reason. Maybe that's because I see it's a Patkin Mitzvah. Because other reasons why perhaps B'Shas Havayi these Patim in Asukah. But in terms of the Svara of Dira Ish V'Ishto, the Gemara rejects that Svara outright. Categorically rejects it. There is no such cloud called Masukah Ish V'Ishto, Madir Ish V'Ishto, Asukah Ish V'Ishto. So when all the dust settles, the Gura says that the Ramos Svara is not correct, Chenikar, and therefore the Gura Paskins, you're mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah, even if your wife can't join you. And if it's freezing cold, that's a different p'tor. That the Gemara's not arguing about. But he doesn't accept the p'tor of the Ramah. So again, yesh v'yesh. There are different opinions. The Gedalia Poskim, Adayim Azeh. Some people rely outright on the Ramah, and they don't marry men, don't sleep in the sukkah. For others who, assuming the wife doesn't want to come. The Ramah says you should make a private sukkah, and your wife should come out in the sukkah. What if you have a private sukkah, and your wife doesn't want to come? So if you have a private sukkah and the wife doesn't want to come, that's like having a public sukkah. She's not mechuyev to come. So she says, I don't want to sleep outside with the skunks and the raccoons. So you go sleep yourself. He says, I can't sleep myself. So those who follow the Ramah will be made. So those who follow the Ramah, another poskim, who disagree with the Ramah, will say, no, afa b'chein, the person, the fellow is mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah. The fiyani is daiti. So even those who rely on the Ramah really have to be careful not to rely on this during the daytime. When a person takes a nap, on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol Moed, so that's it. Also, Dibin Atar, you have to sleep. Even in Sheiras Aroy, the Gemara says, has to be done in the Sukkah. The cool of Aroy only applies to food, not to sleeping. The Gemara says that Sheiras Aroy, even 2-minute nap, wakes you up. Even a 2-minute nap, this is just a Sheiras Aroy. So it's considered to be a chosh of a Sheina, even if it's the smallest amount. So the Pashto says, Bin HaTorah, you have to sleep in the Sukkah, even in the daytime. And all the svaras that pop to you from sleeping in the sukkah at night probably don't apply in the daytime. First of all, it's not so cold usually in the daytime. And number two, people do take naps even though the wives aren't around. That's not called the lack of dira ish v'ishto. So therefore, one could argue that even the mekilim would agree in the daytime. A lot of people are not aware of it. A lot of people, they have this mindset where we don't sleep in the sukkah. So maybe at night you can justify that based on these different reasons. But the daytime mechayid is no justification, unless it's mitzvah. Let's say a lot of little kids running around screaming and make a lot of noise in the sukkah. I can't sleep. Okay, it's a different story. But if a person's able to sleep in the daytime, so vad, the person should make it their business to sleep. Even those who have this minute not to sleep in the sukkah, so you have to make sure that one of the two reasons applies to you. So if a fellow's not married, so then the second reason obviously doesn't apply. Does the first reason apply? Depends what the weather's like. It's nice and warm outside. Sometimes it's more comfortable in the sukkah than it is in the house. So you have to make it in the chashbon. So there's no sleeping in the sukkah. Nobody says you don't sleep in the sukkah altogether. That's against the din. It's against the halacha mashsinah. Kachrem halacha mashsinah. Teish began to do it. Vad, you have to sleep in the sukkah. You have to figure out a reason why maybe Ken Zayin that there's a p'tur. If the p'tur exists, it exists. If it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. Sometimes as a rav, you have to be very careful not to be machshel people and sleeping outside the sukkah. So we give a long drasha on sukkah, so I'm always afraid. The poskim talk about it. If you give a long drasha and then the baal batim fall asleep in shul, so they're being nichshel and sleeping outside of the sukkah. So I thought of a limud tzchus a few years ago. The din is that when a person is machshel pnei rabbi, so the gemara says he's potim in a sukkah, because Isaac mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. So if a person is showing cover to the rebbe, showing cover to the rabbi, so then technically speaking he's potim in a sukkah. I'm giving a drasha in shul, so the person, why is the person coming to the drasha? Either he's coming because he wants to learn something, or he's coming because he wants to give cover to the rabbi, a combination of the two. So Kozman, he's sitting in the shiur, sitting in the drasha, so he's being made to the mitzvah of the kabbal to the rabbi. He's being mechaber the rabbi. So then if he falls asleep, so at that time, he's not a part of the sukkah. He doesn't have to decide. If the guy, all of a sudden, realizes that he's very tired, he doesn't have to go run out to the back to the shul so go to sleep while the rabbi's talking. He can sit in the shul and fall asleep in the shul. That's the end of it. I use this kula of Machal Pei Rabbi to defend the person who's part of the sukkah, the famous psach, whatever you want to call it, that was given. Every year, for several years, they used to always call me from NCSY, different NCSY groups. And they run all these programs for the public school teenagers. So they always, they always try to bring the pizza, to try to encourage them to come to the programs, the after school programs, and then they teach them a little bit about the Torah mitzvahs. So they always like to do something at Cholamayit, so they like to. Like to go out and reach out to the kids and teach them a little bit about Yom Tov, about sukkahs. The problem is that very often they're in these places and in the boonies where there's no sukkah around. So they go to these places and there's no sukkah anywhere. They want to run a program, but they have to bring some food. They don't bring food, no one's going to come. So a few times they ask me the same shadow, can we bring food, can we bring pizza to these programs, knowing full well that the kids are going to be eating out of the sukkah. Is that being marshaled? The Ramesh Shadow of Lifnaiver is giving them food out of the sukkah. So I suggested that why do they have to bring them dafka pizza? Why can't they give them something, a potato chip, or give them something that's part of the sukkah? He said, it's not going to fly, the kids aren't going to come. I don't know, it has to be something a little mechubad. So he said, so why don't you give them like Chinese food or something, make it very special for Yom Tov? So because Yom Tov, the boss, if you give them meat, we pass that meat is not chayv in the sukkah. Because I've been a parent in the rush, but in Shukhanach we pass that meat is not really chayv in the sukkah, only a motzim mezainis. So I recommended that they bring them Chinese. So I recommended, but they told me they don't have the budget to provide for Chinese. So I told them to back in a pizza story. So my job was to find the cooler why it's okay to eat pizza out of the sukkah for these kids. So I thought about it for a little while, and then I thought that it should be like that dinner, Machal Pnei Rabbi. Where are these kids coming to? They're coming to the NCSY advisors. They're coming to learn a little bit about sukkahs. These are their rebbeim. Their rebbeim are the 15-year-old kid's rebbe. He's the 19-year-old advisor. So he's the Machal Pnei Rabbi. So when they come to Machal Pnei Rabbi Chag, they technically put them in a sukkah. So that was I gave that psach for NCSY, that if they feel there's no other way to get it done, so then they can still provide the pizza. And technically speaking, the people are put them in a sukkah. So they tell me that they told this over to a certain rav who's very, very involved in Kira of issues in Eretz Yisrael, and he was very excited about it. He thought it was very creative. I thought it was right. I hope he thought it was right. He said it was creative. I think they hope that he thought it was right. What? Right, the advisor is Vadish. Right. The girl advisor is Kenita. The boy advisor is Kenita. Right, we discriminate. Men and women. I remember years ago when. I took my kids to the Bronx Zoo in Cholamay, the sukkahs. So there was a big advertisement in the newspaper that there's a sukkah in the zoo. But they didn't tell us that the sukkahs in the Africa world or in the Asian world, those are the Bronx Zoo, it's like worlds of the continents apart. So it was hoch hadrachim to get from one to another. And so, kids would get a little antsy to eat. So I wasn't going to eat anything. So I told my older daughter, I told Tova that she could eat out the sukkah. My oldest son wasn't too happy about that. He was about 6 or 7 years old already, so he was killed their mom, he was ready to give the chinuch from the father. So I said to him, he can't eat at the sukkah. He was not a happy camp whatsoever. So I remember I came up with a pshara. I told him that he had a bagel to eat. So I told him he can eat tochas bikabetza of the bagel. So he had about half a bagel, so I told him he can eat that. So he wanted to know how long does he have to wait to eat the other half of the bagel. So I don't know, I'm not sure what the shear is in terms of the tzirup. So it was very long to shadow taking place in between the elephants and the giraffes to try to figure out. My daughter was munching on a bagel. Somehow she didn't have any great desire to be, I'd say, to volunteer mitzvah. She has my grandma. She was just fine enjoying a bagel outside. Okay, anyway. Rabbi said, getting back to the story. So we have a major machlokes in the Rambam and the Gemara. So why does this sugya impact on us? So the Chayyim see something evolving from this Rambam. The Rambam is telling us that Dira Ish V'Ishto is a svar that really, really exists. It exists l'maisa, halach l'maisa, in conclusion, really exists for us. It exists in the world of Ptur. It can be paid to you from a Shena Basuk. What would the Rambam say about Achila without one's wife? What do you think about that? Would you think the Rambam would say that if my wife's not willing to join me in the sukkah, she's not around, she can't join me in the sukkah, so I'm potter from eating in the sukkah? Because ma dira ish v'ishto af sukkah ish v'ishto, chayr at. So Moshe Shturuch writes, and finds it very hard to believe, said a person doesn't go to sleep at night unless your wife's out of town. You wouldn't go to sleep in a different house, in a different room. So to go sleep, you should sleep outside. She's to be inside. That's a bit of dira. That's not a cue of dira. Eating, time. If my wife's around, supper time, so I'll eat supper with her. She's not around. She has a meeting until 10 o'clock at night. Maybe I'm not such a good husband, but, you know, I think all the other husbands here probably say the same thing. It's understood that a couple doesn't always eat together. Okay, Shabbos and Yontif, that's true. You do eat with the wife always Shabbos and Yontif. But in Kol Zeh, that we usually assume halacha that this p'tur doesn't exist. This doesn't carry over for achila. There's only p'tur l'gabi sheina. But Abba Bichain, one could argue that even though it's not a p'tur, but maybe one could argue that to eat together with one's wife in the sukkah is almost a kiyum of sukkah. It's almost like a kiyum of teish v'kein tadur. It's a fulfillment, it's a better way of being here to the mitzvah. You know, those the chassidish communities won't like this particular chassidim, the women eat in the house and the men eat in the sukkah. But in the litvish communities, so the wives eat together with the husbands in the sukkah. So it's not just because... So the answer is it's teish v'kein tadur for both, because the chassidim, the women eat in the other room anyway, every Friday night. So when they eat in the sukkah, it's no different than the rest of the year by the misnagdim. So the wives eat together with the wives and the daughters eat together with the rest of the family. So on sukkah, you can send the wives into the house. That's not right. Sometimes we have a problem on Shmini Atzeres. So very often we have a lot of company, a lot of my wife's company comes from Shmini Atzeres. Sometimes that sukkah, not the Baruch Hashem, we end up with all the kids and all everything. You know, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's hard to fit everybody into the sukkah. So we've once in a while in Shmini Atzeres. So we've the sukkah is right by the door of the porch. So we've opened up both doors and we make believe that it's one long table. But lamais of the women are inside the house. Okay, but Shmini Atzeres, yesh lahakol on this kiyum. But during the week of sukkahs, one can argue that it's the right thing to do, that the wives dafka should sit in the sukkah. That's a greater kiyum of the husband's kiyum of teishvah gedurah. According to the Grove says that there is no such thing called teishvah gedurah. Doesn't address the women altogether. That was just a fleeing havamin in the Gemara. So what I'm saying is clearly not correct. But according to the Ramah, that havamin is a maskara to some degree, and it's used in a Torah to party from sukkah. So maybe we could turn it around on its head and use it almost to mechayev you, almost to use it to include you, to use it as an added dimension of kiyum sukkah. If that's the case, that there's an added dimension of having my wife in the sukkah, so then you can't turn around and say, no, my wife has to leave the sukkah because she's being nenem in a sukkah shlo b'shas mitzvah. No, that's b'shas mitzvah. Hard being in the sukkah is enhancing my mitzvah sukkah. The iser of being nenem in a sukkah means to use the schach in a way that's antithetical to its purpose as yeshiva b'sukkah. So when my wife is joining me in the sukkah, so that's a good thing. That's b'shas v'asai. She's assisting me in fulfilling my mitzvah of la'edel yedel, of mehudah shemehudah, of having my dira ish v'ishto of sukkah ish v'ishto. So one could argue that, if there's no husband around altogether, so then maybe the wife could sit in the sukkah because the sukkah was never in his kach in the first place. If there is a husband around, then the wife could eat the sukkah al-smach, the husband. So we're not losing too much sleep over the women in the sukkah. So we're okay, we're still in the Litvish, Misnagdish world where the women all sit in the sukkah and ain't paitz about mitzafsif. No one's bothered with this. We assume that it's not a problem. And maybe, it's based on the Ramah, it's not a problem.
Even if you don't say that it's enhancing the husband's mitzvah sukkah,
oh, that's the next view. It's the next approach.
If we're saying that a man is allowed to eat his wife in the sukkah, it's not, you know, teaching him to do that, we said
No, I'm saying it's not. It's not. You can't use it as an absolute tour because lamaisa we do eat sometimes without our wives. But every time we do eat with our wives, that's a greater dira, especially in Shabbos and Yontif. That's definitely a greater expression, a more clear expression of dira. Maybe.
What if the wife eats there by herself?
So that would be a problem, right? If you have a sukkah that the man ate in already, and now the wife's coming out, that usually doesn't happen. Most women, if they're going to grab something, the husband's not around on sukkahs, most of the time they don't run out to the sukkah. Sometimes. Depends how close the sukkah is. In Manhattan, where they go? Up to the roof? I imagine your wife, if she wants to.
Go out of Manhattan.
What?
You leave Manhattan for
sukkahs. Okay. I remember once somebody told me that the following. There's a famous book of the Chassidish Rebbe's that says that what's the difference between the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of sukkah? So he said lulav is a lower level of mitzvah than sukkah. Why? Because lulav, it's only a mitzvah kol zman that you're holding onto the lulav. The minute you put the lulav over, it's all finished. Kach l'mechem, it's done. Sukkah, you're in the sukkah. You're surrounded by the sukkah. You walk around the sukkah. You sit down. You stand up. You're always surrounded by the sukkah. But at the end of the day, you can walk out of the sukkah. That's why Shabbos is a greater mitzvah than sukkah. Why? Because this Rebbe said that sukkah, at the end of the day, you're surrounded, but at the end of the day, you can step out and you're out of it. Shabbos, you cannot walk out of Shabbos. So this particular rabbi said to me, he lived in Manhattan, he said that Rebbe never lived in Manhattan. He said, because if you live in Manhattan on Shabbos, you walk out of shul, you walk out of your house, you walked out of Shabbos. Am I right, Mr. Holton? I mean, it's South Manhattan, but... okay, good. Please don't take it personal.
Based off the Ramah, we then say if the husband's putter in the sukkah, let's say, for any reason, or whatever, then for him to go sit in the sukkah, he's going to come out from the sukkah when he's putter from it.
So this Oniyam is opening up a whole major, major question as to how can anybody's putter ever sit in the sukkah? Okay, we'll get there. So let's move on a little bit, let's say. Let's move on to another mahalas. We have a couple of mahalchem to explain away some of the Makla story. Either there was miskatcha yet. We're not so sure that that's the facts are right, and we're not so sure that's for sure not going to help us. As Banazel, our women sit in the sukkah that one is kachu. Then we have a second mahalach of, well, maybe it's enhancing the husband's kiyam. We're not so sure. The grower would never buy into this. And Beneinu, this would only defend the married women sitting in it. Wouldn't defend the young girl sitting in the sukkah. Teenage girl, unmarried girl sitting in the sukkah, this obviously is not going to help. So we're still missing some missing link here. We have to come up with some other or more inclusive reason to defend the age-old practice of Jewish women, single, married, everybody in between, sitting in the sukkah. So another idea was just proposed, which is quite possibly the answer to this dilemma. Yaduah mefursam, as a machlokes harishonim, if a woman decides to volunteer to do a mitzvah she has lan grama, what's her take on that? So do we encourage that with open arms that they should recite a bracha upon the performance of these mitzvahs? Or do we say, you want to do the mitzvah, okay, but we're not going to let you make a bracha. Now, we already spoke about the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Can women even volunteer certain mitzvahs altogether? So we happen to pass like Rabbi Yossi that women can volunteer, and therefore Nashim Sem Kusvashos, and therefore a woman can blow shofar for herself if she wants to, and therefore we have no qualms with a woman doing a lot, she can be a little regular. We have no qualms with a woman doing all these kinds of things as voluntary mitzvahs. There are only two mitzvahs that actually the poskim single out for totally different reasons. Why women are not doing, women should be discouraged from doing. One is tefillin, one is tzitzis, but really for tangential reasons. It's not because there's man grumas. We let women shake lulav, we let women here come to shofar, we let them eat in the sukkah, we let them do everything, but tefillin and tzitzis, no, each one for its own reason. Tefillin because of kufnokim, makshav, tahora, and hashchadas, and all those extra halachic considerations, but extra above and beyond concerns. And tzitzis is a whole. There's a whole other story based on it. I'm on it for tzitzis, again, enough of them. But putting aside film and tzitzis, basically we have a very, very open position towards women volunteering to do mitzvahs. We're fine with it. We have no qualms about women volunteering to do mitzvahs. However, can a woman make a brach on those mitzvahs? That's a big machlekes mishnah. Machlekes Rambam Rabbein Tam. So the Rambam says, you want to make a brach on a mitzvah, you're not chayavin, you make a brach on a tola. Who are you kidding? You have no right to make a bracha. You want to send the sukkah? He was in the hate, says the Rambam. When I make a bracha, it's a mamsha bracha batola. The Rambam is very, very strong on bracha batola. The Rambam holds the bracha batola in this at the raisa. The violation of the seres of dibbles, the sisa, shem, shem, mokech, lishar. Tyson Rosh Hashanah tones it down a little bit. The Gemara says that if you say a bracha batola, it's like no seshim shemayim batola. So the Rambam says it means it literally, and Taisa says, it's an asmach, it's an adirabon. Fine. But the Rambam sheet is you can't make a bracha unless you chayav mitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with him. Tam says, nah, women can make brachas, brings the raya's from the Gemara, famous raya from Rav Yosef, who was blind, made brachas. Rabbeinu Tam is a whole arichas in Rosh Hashanah, and then he has a shortened version of it in Maseches Kedushin, and he talks about it again in Baba Kama. Every couple hundred blot, Rabbeinu Tam shows you the same shita, that a woman can recite a bracha, even though she's not chayeves in the bracha. How do we understand this machlokes Rabbeinu Tam in the Rambam? What's the nekudas of machlokes? So one can understand this machlokes in multiple ways. One can understand this machlokes almost lies within the p'tur of Zman Grama. How do you understand the nature of Zman Grama? Zman Grama mean that I'm not mechuyev in the mitzvah, but if I do it, it's still registered. It's still a ma'isa mitzvah. It's a ma'isa mitzvah that I happen not to be chayev in doing. What do I say now? That the p'tur of Zman Grama means is the mitzvah is not a misyaches to me, but I'm it's a nothing, it's a zero. It's the mashma davadani. Let's say a guy would shake a lulav. So you would just say, oh, he's basically doing the mitzvah of lulav, but just because he's not Jewish, he happens not to be chayev. So it's on this. Kedushas Yisrael is the prerequisite for shmiras mitzvahs. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu. So when a non-Jew does a mitzvah, that's a garbage, that's a nothing. So when a woman does a mitzvah, how do we view that? Woman checks the woman shares a shayf. The woman says Krishna. How do we understand it? Do we say, that's what I'm please, don't quote me and don't misquote me and don't take the moment and say out of context. But do we say that it's almost like halachically, like it's like a guy doing it? It means it's not. The mitzvah doesn't speak to her. It's nothing. It's not a mitzvah b'chlal. Or do I say, no, there's an unbelievable difference. The guy doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. The woman has full flesh Kedushas Yisrael. There's not an iota of difference in Kedushas Yisrael between a man and a woman, because seven Beis Yaakov and seven Beis Yisrael was said to the Beis Yaakov, to the women, to the Beis Yisrael, to the men. They all received Tayag mitzvahs. Everyone was miskaddish with Tayag mitzvahs. And then the Rebbe Shlom gave Yisrael Peturim. I have Kedushas Yisrael. You have Kedushas Yisrael. My wife has Kedushas Yisrael. My daughters, everyone has Kedushas Yisrael. I have certain things that I do. She has certain things she does, etc. So come, L'chaora comes Rabbeinu Tam and says that there's nothing wrong with reciting a bracha. Because even though you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah. So call it an eina mitzvah v'yaisa. So the Gemara has a lashon in the Sefer Kedushin, gadol ha-mitzvah v'yaisa, and misha eina mitzvah v'yaisa. It's greater to be mitzvah v'yaisa, but the eina mitzvah v'yaisa is still called a mitzvah, and therefore we have no qualms making a bracha. That's the Rabbeinu Tam shita. And maybe the Rambam disagrees, maybe the Rambam holds that it's not a mitzvah b'chlal. It's almost like a guy doing it. So it's hard to believe that. Just conceptually, it's very, very hard to believe that. My guess, my gut feeling would be that the Rambam probably agrees to Rabbeinu Tam that in terms of the degree of mitzvah, it really is registered as a mitzvah. It does count as a mitzvah. But the machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam is more machlokes Hiluchos Brachos. Namely, can we formulate a bracha on a mitzvah that I'm not machlokes to do? So Rabbeinu Tam, somebody had no problems with saying, Asher Kedushan, Mitzvah Yisif Tzivan, he had no problem. And the Rambam is very, very, you know, literalist, so to speak. The Rambam says, listen to what you're saying. It's not true. It's overkill. It's overstated. Mitzivanu. Shekidishanu mitzvaysav v'hitilwanu lasav sa mitzvah. Nosav barukimit. That's not the nischa bracha. We're not in the business of making nischa brachas. So since Yachik Nesekdar, Ezra and Nechemiah, Yachik Nesekdar formulated the nischa bracha v'tzivanu, so the Rambam says it's impossible for a woman to say that bracha with a straight face when she says shalulu. So the machlekes of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam was not so much a machlekes in Hilchos mitzvahs within Hilchos Petuah Zman Grama, was more of a technical machlekes in Hilchos brachas. Rabbeinu Tam justified saying the bracha even though it has that connotation of its Yivanu, and the Rambam didn't buy into that. How could Rabbeinu Tam justify it? It's very, still very difficult. The Rambam is right. Even if it is a kiyum mitzvah, even if a woman gets some kind of a fulfillment, gains something by doing the mitzvah, how could you say v'tzivanu? It's mamash davashakya. What's love v'tzivanu? So there's a famous Ran. Ran suggests that maybe the justification in review of Rabbeinu Tam for a woman to perform a mitzvah and to recite a bracha, it's not enough just to say she gets a kiyum mitzvah. You still have to address the language of the bracha. V'tzivanu doesn't seem to be accurate. So the Ran reinterpreted the bracha v'tzivanu. V'tzivanu doesn't refer to me personally. It refers to Klal Yisrael, Shekidishanu, the mitzvah saw v'tzivanu. We, the Jewish people, were given kedusha, we were given mitzvahs, and we were commanded. was I personally commanded? I'm not talking about that right now. It's not what the bracha says. The bracha is talking global, general terms. Kedushah nup, lashin rabim. It's a subitziv on nup, lashin rabim. So whenever you have a nuscha bracha, lashin rabim, so therefore, Benetam was willing to gloss over that nuscha bracha. So it could be at the end of the day, the whole machlekes Rambam and Benetam was almost nuscha bracha to the issue. Can we say with a straight face, this bracha, or does this bracha almost resemble like a bracha without like a davish shekia? But in terms of shmiras ha-mitzvahs, even the Rambam concedes that when a woman does a mitzvah, it is does register in Shabbayim as some kind of a kiyum ha-mitzvah. According to the Rambam, the whole justification of Rabbi Netam to say the bracha is the Lashon Rabbim. That's what the Chassidim have a lot of problems with. Say, Hashem Yidushon Nib, Mitzvah Yisav Yitzivu Nib. It's not right. So the Chassidim lose out this one, but they have the upper hand on which parasha? Parashas Tazria. If you're Chassidish about Kari, it's the easiest parasha later. It's not, it's a disaster. Because all of Parashas Tazria is Negahu, Tzrasi, Negahu, Tzrasi. Half the time you can't tell whether it's the who's or the he's. So if everything is Negahi, Tzrasi, everything is he, there's no who's. He, Achashverosh. Everything's he. So that's a very easy parasha to learn. Okay. Just as an aside. Rabbi said, get back to our story. So once we've developed this idea that according to Rabbi Tam, it's for sure true, and most probably according to the Rambam as well, that women do mitzvahs, it does register. This could impact mamash on the level of deraisa, that it's called a mitzvah on a level of deraisa. Moshe Mother Vadoimah, there's a famous discussion in the Echareinim, can you carry a shofar on Rosh Hashanah to blow a shofar a woman? What's the deal? So the Mishnah says in Beitzi, you're allowed to carry a shofar. Why am I talking about the tzarech? The name is Shalom Tzarech. The Machlag is Rashi and David. And Tosis, is Shalom Tzarech mean Shalom Tzarech Klal? Or Shalom Tzarech mean Shalom Tzarech Achila? But there has to be some Tzarech Hayyim. So the Ramaz Machmir, there has to be some kind of degree, some Mashu of a Tzarech Hayyim. So the Chorem Abba Tumul, is that called a Tzarech Hayyim? And I'm carrying a shofar for a woman, is that called Tzarech Hayyim? So some Chorem write, that's not called a Tzarech Hayyim. What's the Tzarech? She's not Chayyim anyway. Another Chorem says, what is the Tzarech? It's a Tzarech Mitzvah. Aisha's not Chayyim. It's a Kima Mitzvah. And so you have this idea in halacha that even though min haTorah is not mechuyevus in a mitzvah, it does register as a mitzvah on a love of deraisa. It's called the tzarech hayom. It has to be a tzarech hayom, a love of deraisa, according to many. So it is this idea of a kiyum mitzvah kiyumis is a real factor in halacha. It's not made up gain mitzvah kiyumis. It really means something. There's some real teeth to it on a love of deraisa. I was once giving a shiur in a certain community, and it was about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So I was talking about the Ramban Shita, Sefer Mitzvahs, and there's a real one of the tag mitzvahs, an independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So I mentioned this, Machlekes, Ramosh, and others about what's the nature of that mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah kiyumis, mitzvah chiyumis, back and forth. So somebody came up to me in the end of the year and said, they accused me of making up the term mitzvah kiyumis. They said that I made up the term. They never heard of the term mitzvah kiyumis all the years in yeshiva. They must have gone to the wrong yeshiva. I said, I didn't make it up. I said, you want to argue that maybe Eretz Yisrael is one and not one. You want to argue Matzah is one, not one. So you can argue about this detail, but to say there's no such thing called a mitzvah kiyumis in halacha, that's absurd. Of course that's the concept of mitzvah kiyumis. You have nuances, which aren't, but the mitzvah kiyumis about to exist. I know what they want to examine. Then they told me that in the community that they come from, nobody ever speaks about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So I say, in the community I come from, they always talk about it. So you have to know which community from the right place. Anyway, so getting back to that story. So this idea that women may have a kiyum, even a love of their eyes, sitting in the sukkah, this may be the ultimate answer to the Yontif's objection. Yontif's pilpling, what's a woman doing in the sukkah? What's Olivia Malka doing in the sukkah? So we try to explain, no, it didn't have to finish the sukkah. Nah, not true. We try to explain, oh, she's married, and therefore it's a kiyum for that. Nah, we don't even know where Mr. Hill and the MTI are. We haven't seen him since the last sukkah. So what's the justification of a woman sitting in the sukkah? Maybe the justification is, the whole issa was only, if it's shaloi b'derech mitzvah, this is b'derech mitzvah. It's not b'derech chiyuv, so what? It's a mitzvah to love of their isa. If you're allowed to carry a shofar, a lula for a woman on Yom Tov, then she's allowed to sit in the sukkah. It's the same shy, it's the same issue, because as long as she's doing something positive, some kind of a kima mitzvah, that's good enough. And according to us, we follow Rabbeinu Tam. So even if we're wrong in our analysis of the Rambam, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're for sure right. Rabbeinu Tam lets women make a bracha. If you let a woman make a bracha, avatar is a kima mitzvah. What's the Remember, one of the early years of Rosh Hashanah, when it was in Rav and Paramus, before I was in Bergenfeld, it was Rav and Paramus for a few years. So we had little kids at the time. So my wife, by the time she got to shul for Rosh Hashanah, so it was ready. They had already blown the first tekiyas. So she came in sometime in the middle of Musaf. So when we came to the first set of tekiyas in the middle of Chazal Shas, at the end of the Malchios, So she sent my oldest daughter to come running into, she was maybe 3-4 years old at the time, came running into the men's section. She comes running up to the front and says, the top fellow, Ima wants to know if she's supposed to make a bracha on the shofar before, when they're about to blow the shofar now. So I nodded, yes. So she runs out, goes back to Ezra's Nashim. 2 minutes later, she comes running back in, and she says, Ima wants to know if she's supposed to say Shachiyanu on the blowing of the shofar. Now that was a very loaded question, because it was second day Rosh Hashanah, it's Machlekes Rishonim. I'm many, most shuls minig is that we do say Shachiyanu, that's why we have a new fruit, Suffolk. But some followed the minig Agra, some Rishonim had such an opinion that you don't say Shachiyanu but Tkiyah Shofar on the second day. And the shul in Paramus had that minig, and the father was a big, they used to follow the old Yechashim and Hagim, so a lot of the founders of the shul from Breuers. So by the Yekis, they don't say Shechiyanu on the second day. But since there were a lot of non-Yekis in the shul, so before I was a rabbi, one of the rabbanim before me came up with the following compromise, that on the second day of Yom Tov, they would say Lishmo Kol Shofar, and then they would pause for like 3 seconds. Whoever wanted to say their own private Shechiyanu, the Baal Tekeh didn't say it, but whoever wanted to say their own private Shechiyanu would say it, then they'd begin to blow. So now, nobody knew what I had done during that 3-second pause. I had said Shechiyanu, but no one knew that. So now my daughter put me in the corner. Now she's screaming at the top of her lungs. Ima wants to know whether she'd say Shechiyanu. So I see like total silence in the shul, all eyes on the rabbi. So I give the green light, you know, to go say Shechiyanu. So I saw half the Baal of Atim, and the other half ready to throw me out of the shul for, okay, unless it's going to do it its best. Okay, anyway, so it wasn't my policy. It was another rabbi's policy. Okay, anyway. Getting back to this story here. So we have another possibility to explain why women could sit in the sukkah. We have either it wasn't the definition of sukkah anyway, or it was somehow teshuva came to do it for the husbands, or maybe it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Do we have any other approach? So the third is another approach to this dilemma, which is probably the most all-encompassing approach. It's going to solve some of the issues that were raised before. If you look carefully on the test, when the Gemara talks about the issa being nana miyatzi sukkah, so the Gemara learns it out from Kutchim. It's just like, Minayin, that you're not allowed to be an enemy of Sukkah, Chag, Tzukas Lashem, Kishem Gachal, Shesh Malach Hagiga, Kachal, Shesh Malach Ala Sukkah, Lochainu, Lochainu. So the Taz already points out in the Chesukah that Darosha is not 100% ironclad. It's not really Kutchim. Let's not, you know, let's not go overboard. A proof to use up the Taz that this is not real Kutchim. Remember we said, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, when does the Sukkah become Asabana? At what point? When it's actually what? Yeah. It's actually used. At what point does it not become? It was just designated. What's it in my kutchin? When does an animal become Asabana for a carbon? When you mock it, once you mock it, it's done, it's history. It doesn't become also when you bring it as a carbon. So Hazmona is Lav Milsahi by many areas, but not in kutchin. So frektata, so how could we learn out the din of sukkah from kutchim and then turn around and say that the guidelines are different? So the answer is, says the Taz, it's a melitza, that sukkah is asabana. It's not really true sukkah is asabana. You know what the issur of atzei sukkah is? You're not allowed to be mevatel as a sukkah b'mitzvasa. If you go ahead and you take the schach off and use it for firewood, so that's a bittel of the sukkah. That's a bittel atzei sukkah. The issur is not hanome atzei sukkah b'isai. The issur is what? This was bittel atzei sukkah. Zev t'taz, any hanor that you do that doesn't impact on the sukkah, because today there's no issur. This is not kachim. If it was kachim, it would be also b'hazmana. It's a bittel. The nature of the issur is the bittel mitzvasa. You want to be nedim in a sukkah while it's standing, gegers of the hate. But the minute that you're mevatel in a mitzvasa, you take down the schach and use it for firewood, so now that, even if you leave the rest of the schach intact, that piece of schach is no longer serving as the mitzvah sukkah. Well, that's the issur d'raisa, chag sukkah shiva shlom Hashem. According to this Taz, the whole kush of the Yonin Yontef Mamish disappears within there. How can a woman sit in the sukkah? We've been working for an hour to solve a problem that according to Taz doesn't exist. There never was an Isra Hanna. We call it Losha B'nei Adam, Amalitza, we use it, we say it's awesome, but we really mean it's a Bidl Mitzvah. What do you gain from this Taz? You gain a Gevaldi thing. Because there are other examples of people who sometimes sit in the sukkah who are not really chayim in the sukkah. L'moshel, if it's raining outside, what's the din? Forget about the first night. That's more common. It's raining in the sukkah. Third day chalavon. Are you mechuyev to sit in the sukkah? Absolutely not. Mishnah says beferish not. Yerushalmi says if you sit in the sukkah in the rain, you're a fool. You're a hedyot. But what does Yerushalmi not say you are? doesn't say you're Russia, doesn't say you're Baal Aveira, you're a fool. Okay, we do a lot of foolish, a lot of silly things in our lives. It's not an Aveira. Why isn't it an Aveira? It should be an Issa, Gama, Minat, Torah, Tidin. You know why? Because when you're sitting in the sukkah in the rain, the schach's protecting you a little bit. The walls give you a little bit warmer, a little bit more comfortable. If you'd be sitting out in the middle of the street, you'd get drenched. Now you're only getting half drenched. So it's a Nana Minat sukkah, Shalay Bishas Mitzvasa. What's the answer? But you're not being mavat the sukkah. I'm not destroying the sukkah. So Kozman, you're not destroying the sukkah. That's not a problem. But what about according to the Yonah Yontif? The Yontif himself obviously disagrees with the Taz. If he didn't disagree with the Taz, he wouldn't have spent all that time on the woman issue today. So according to the Yonah Yontif, who says that the Isser of Nenem and Asukah is Pshuta Kamash Ma'az Mamish and Isser Hanah, what he does with Tazman and Mils, I'm not sure. But it's an Isser Hanah Mamish, even Bishas Amis Asukah. So how does he explain away why the Bishalmi says it's only Hedyon? Why not worse? So you know what the Yonah Yontif says? The Yisra is only to be nana from a sukkah when it's raining. It's what? There's a famous grun, Uchah Sukkah says, when it's raining, it's not a sukkah. Pshat, the p'tur of rain is not a p'tur in the gavra. The p'tur of rain is a p'tur in the cheftza. Remember, what's a sukkah supposed to do? It's supposed to provide shelter. Well, it's failing miserably because the rain's getting in. Now, again, we learned earlier this year, Benatam Shita, is that it can't block out all the rain. If it blocks out all the rain, then you cross the line, according to Benatam, it became a Diras Keva. That was from the earlier sugyas. So you have to walk this tightrope. It has to be ability to keep out the rain, but Lemaisa, Kozman, that it's really, the rain's really, really coming in, it has to have the ability to keep out some of the rain, not all the rain, but the rain's really coming in, B'shas Maisa, the Goyen, Hakazot, Lav Shem Sukkah. That's what the gross famous Shita was. On the first night of sukkah, even if it's pouring rain, you don't have to sit in the sukkah. So Rav Moshe says the first night there's no p'tur. It's time, you got to sit in the sukkah, whole chagadja. You guys, what are you sitting in the sukkah for? It's like eating in the house. Sitting in the sukkah in the rain is lav shem sukkah, it's nishkin sukkah b'chlal. So that gra may help us to understand why it's not so terrible to sit in the sukkah in the rain. If you want to be a mishulim, you want to be a hedyot, you want to be a fool, gegas in the head, be a fool. But it's not an issa. So Rabbi said, we have three, four different biurim in the different rishayim. Rabbi has to explain away this phenomena. We know women sit in the sukkah. Only a Malka did it. Our wives, our daughters, our mothers, our grandmothers, everybody sits in the sukkah. So what pshat? So either the very, very limited scope answer that, oh, the sukkah didn't have kedusha yet. That may help. Only a Malka, maybe, no, but it's not going to help us. Or the Oidi Shleimer. What's another reason? He said, well, it's enhancing the husband sitting. That's assuming there's a husband here. Or the Oidi Shleimer, maybe she has a kima mitzvah. Maybe the Taz, maybe they got the whole thing wrong. There never was an Israel. So again, four different biurim to explain away this phenomena, why women in fact do sit in the sukkah. Honey Amalka for sure sat in the sukkah, and we're not so worried with the access of Gish. Okay. All right, Rabbi Say, so tomorrow we have sheer regular time, right? Next was a Thursday schedule? Okay, so we'll have regular sheer at 1:15. Maybe we'll do it in the MDM tomorrow. A little bit from the Rosh Hashanah, a little bit. Good, a little bit of kids or something like that.